Yesterday, Hyaloji explained that in practicing meditation, in order to attain Magga Phala Jnana, path and fruition knowledge, in order to be free from suffering, one should not be practicing samatha. That is less significant. Any kind of wholesomeness that are less significant that can be a hindrance to the vipassana practice should not be done in the intensive meditation and as taught by the late Venerable Mahasi Saraji. And yesterday time was up. So today Saraji will explain the reference why it is said that when practicing intensive vipassana practice, one should not be doing any other wholesomeness that is less significant that can disturb the vipassana practice. Saraji will explain the reference that it was taught in Dhammapada based on the Atthadatta, the Venerable Atthadatta, how Buddha had said so in Dhammapada. So in Dhammapada, Buddha said one should practice for one's own benefit, and Saraji will explain brief today. This teaching was given just a few months before the Buddha attained Pre-Nibbana. Venerable Atthadatta had this intention to practice to attain arahatship when Buddha was alive, as Buddha would only live another 4 months at that time. So the Venerable Atthadatta thought that Buddha is to attain Pre-Nibbana within 4 months, in 4 months' time, and I have not finished the practice. It will be better off to have become an arahat while Buddha still lives. And thus, he practiced meditation full time so that he could become an arahat before Buddha attained Pre-Nibbana. So before Buddha attained Pre-Nibbana, the monks gathered, but the Venerable Atthadatta did not come to the Sangha gathering as he was practicing meditation. And thus he was called Atthadatta, meaning the person, the monk who practiced for the benefit of himself. Nowadays, people might criticize the Atthadatta Venerable that he was selfish. Even during the Buddha's time, there were monks who were still Puttojana, the worldlings, that was not satisfied the way Atthadatta was. And they came to the Buddha and told the Buddha that the Venerable Atthadatta has no regard, has no respect for the Buddha. He had no mitta and karuna to the Buddha, as he did not even come to the Sangha meeting where the Sangha was discussing about the Buddha's Pre-Nibbana. And thus, they thought that the Venerable Atthadatta was acting like a total stranger, and they came to the Buddha to say these things about Atthadatta. Buddha then called the Venerable Atthadatta and asked question, and Atthadatta explained. Buddha knew the intention of the Venerable Atthadatta. Buddha praised him and said sadhu, and Buddha gave the teaching to the monks in detail about it, and here it will be explained just in brief. Nowadays, if someone is acting like the Venerable Atthadatta, other people will criticize the person as someone who does not do any social work for others, who has been acting like a total stranger. But Buddha praised the Venerable Atthadatta. Buddha praised the Venerable Atthadatta, and Buddha taught monks that the person who has metta towards Buddha should be like the Venerable Atthadatta. So Atthadatta, Venerable, should be exemplary. And someone who honors and pays respect to Buddha with candles and flowers are not said to be the ones who truly respect and honor Buddha. Those who practice patipatti, those who practice according to the Logodara Dhamma, the supramundane Dhamma, those who practice in accordance with the supramundane Dhamma are the ones who really or who truly honor and respect Buddha. So in practicing, in order to attain supramundane knowledge, should practice like the Venerable Atthadatta, having the Venerable Atthadatta as the example. Buddha taught the verse Atthadatta Paratena Bahuna Pinaha Paye Atthadatta Mabinyaya Sakatha Pasuto Siya, meaning that even if one can do the benefit of many, one should not be deteriorating the work in one's own benefit for the sake of benefits of many. So it is said that one should not practice less for one's own benefit for the sake of the benefit of many other persons. So one should understand one's true benefit, and one should practice for one's own benefit. To explain it in the worldly sense, even if the person's work will give benefits for others that may be worth $100, for that benefit, for that reason, one should not give up working for one's own benefit, even if it is worth $1 or $5. In this way, one should not lose to work for one's own benefit, even if it might give a lot of benefits for many others. So in the practice, One should not lose the practice to become a Sotapanna, even if the same kind of practice, even if same kind of work can be done for the benefit of others to become arahats. One should give priority to one's own benefit, and one should not give priority to other people's benefit if it will make loss for one's own benefit, because it is the person himself, herself, that will gain his or her own benefit. So in this way, one should give priority to one's own benefit in the practice. So one should understand one's own benefits, and one should practice for one's own benefit. Even for one's own benefits, one has to give priority to work for the most profit. For example, when one is practicing Satipatthana meditation, during the intensive Satipatthana practice, one should not be doing any other wholesomeness that are of less significant. The example is given here. If there is a kind of work that will earn the person $500 a day, the work that will earn him $500 should not be given up for some less important work that will earn him $100. One should give priority to work for much profit in favor of other work that will earn him less. Among the wholesome deeds, there are dana, sila, samatha, and vipassana. Among these mundane wholesomeness, vipassana wholesomeness is the most effective, and vipassana wholesomeness can earn the person maggaphala jnana, path and fruition knowledge, that can lead the person to be free from suffering. By practicing vipassana day and night, one can be freed from the suffering of the rounds. So while practicing vipassana in order to be free from the sufferings, one should not be doing any other wholesomeness that is of less significant. Vipassana kusala has the quality to free the person from suffering. So one should not be doing any other wholesomeness that cannot free the person from suffering. So that means while practicing intensive Satipatthana practice, during the intensive practice of Satipatthana, one should not be doing dana or samatha that gives less profit. So even in working for one's own benefit, one should give priority to doing the kind of work that will be more profitable. But on the other hand, if the person gives priority to doing the kind of work that is less profitable, the person is said to be a foolish person. So that's why one should practice the kind of wholesomeness that are more efficient, that are most profitable. In the verse Atadatta Nahapaye, one should not let one's own benefit deteriorate. And explained in the commentary, monks have their certain duties and responsibility as a sangha, like doing maintenance work to the monastery or the stupa. And also they have the duties and responsibility giving service to the preceptor. Such kind of duties and responsibilities should be done. It is a must that they should do such duties and responsibility. And there is also another kind of duty called abhisamacharika. And only those who perform these duties can attain the Maggaphala, path and fruition knowledge. The person who is lacking such kind of duties will not gain the super mundane knowledge. One should practice like Atadatta. One should practice like the Venerable Atadatta. When practicing on an intensive retreat, one should practice giving priority to the Satipatthana practice. So when one is practicing intensively, aiming for the super mundane knowledge, for that time of intensive practice, one will be lacking the duties to the preceptor and so on. But one should practice intensively, aiming for the super mundane knowledge. And at the time one is in intensive practice for super mundane knowledge, one should not be doing other wholesomeness that are less profitable. When practicing Satipatthana, one should practice intensively without doing any other wholesomeness that are insignificant. So this is explained in the commentary as well. So when the yogis are here practicing meditation in order to attain Maggaphalajnana, path and fruition knowledge, in order to be free from the suffering, even though they are not like monks, but they, at their best they can, to refrain themselves from matters that are insignificant, giving as much time for Satipatthana practice. So yogis should give priority to the Satipatthana practice, not doing any other matters that are not important. There are duty that should be done by the student to the preceptor, and there are duty and responsibility that the teacher should do for the students. So these duties and responsibility are compulsory. They should be done. But while practicing Satipatthana meditation intensively, such kind of duties are waived, and one should practice intensively the Satipatthana practice And at the time that the person is practicing intensively, such kind of duties can be relieved. If a teacher is not doing the duties to the student, there can be an offense. And if the student is not doing such duties to the teacher, it can lead to an offense. But during the Satipatthana intensive practice, such kind of duties should be given up at the time of intensive practice, as Satipatthana practice is the wholesomeness that is most profitable. So this is explained by the commentary according to the teaching of the Buddha. So when practicing Satipatthana meditation, one should give priority to Satipatthana practice, giving up the other duties and responsibility during the intensive practice. And one should understand that Satipatthana Vipassana practice is one's true own benefit, and thus it is very important. As a monk, there are duties and responsibility that should be done toward the preceptor. There are duties and responsibility that should be done to the student. And if such duties and responsibility are not done, the monk is doing an offense and also breaking the Patimokkha Sila, the disciplinary code for the monks as prescribed by the Buddha. And such kind of breaking of such duties and responsibility can even be the obstacle to the higher assistances. And it can also be a hindrance to the attainment of Magga Jnana, path knowledge. But during the Vipassana intensive practice, such duties and responsibilities are waived. So let alone the maintenance for the monastery, such kind of work are less significant. Even duties and responsibilities to the preceptor are waived at the time of intensive Vipassana practice. So when going on an intensive Vipassana practice, the monk can ask permission from the preceptor for a certain period, for 1 month and 2 months, to be excused from such duties and responsibilities. Asking for permission from the preceptor to be excused from the duties and responsibility for the period, for the whole duration of the intensive retreat, the monk will no longer be making an offense. So in this way, the monk is able to practice intensive Satipatthana practice, and the monk can be attaining the supramundane knowledge through the intensive practice. And also, Saraji continues to explain how even the Buddha taught to give priority to Dhammanuddhammapadipanna, the practice that is in accordance with the supramundane Dhamma. This teaching was given very shortly before Buddha attained Parinibbana. So before the Buddha attained Parinibbana, in India, in Kushinara where there is the park of cell trees of the Malla kings, and Buddha was lying on bed, and Buddha taught this teaching that is very interesting, showing how great the Buddha's intention was. Before Buddha attained Parinibbana, all the deities and Brahmas from 10,000 universes gathered before the Buddha that there was no gap or there was no vacancy at all, filled with deities and Brahmas, coming to pay respect to the Buddha for the last time, while Buddha was still alive. Paying respect with flowers, fragrances, various kinds of flowers and fragrances, and musical instruments, and they were paying respect to the Buddha. And what the Buddha taught is very noteworthy. Nowadays, there are people who are spending much of their time paying respect to the Buddha with flowers, fragrance, candles, spending much of their time with these offerings only without doing the spiritual practice. And some of them are spending much time with chanting, recitation, hitting gong, offering candles and incense sticks and so on. And Saraji doesn't know how they will say when they hear this teaching, but Saraji will say what exactly the Buddha said concerning with these offerings and paying respect with these material things. The Buddha taught what was the best way to pay honor and respect to the Buddha, saying about five lines, not ko, ananda, itavra, and so on. So the main meaning is, ananda, those who are honoring, paying respect, giving the respect with various kind of flowers, fragrance, musical instruments, candles, and so on. So such kind of paying respect with flowers and fragrance and so on is not said to be paying respect, paying honor or respect. Such kind of paying respect with various flowers, candles, and fragrance is not said to be true respect. What the true highest respect, what the true highest kind of paying respect is, whether the person is a monk, a female monk, a male monk or female monk, or the disciple, male disciple, female disciple, however whatever the person may be, if the person practice satipatthana meditation that is in accordance with the attainment of magga phala jnana, path and fruition knowledge, in the realization of nibbana, through the practice of satipatthana, such bhikkhu or bhikkhuni or upasaka or upasika is said to be paying a true respect, truly paying respect, truly paying venerance and honor to the Buddha. And Buddha continued that Ananda, that is why one should have the determination to practice in order to attain Magapala, path and fruition knowledge, and to attain Nibbana. So one should have the determination that one will practice that is in accordance with the attainment of Magapala and Nibbana. So in other part of the teaching, Buddha said that giving respect to the Buddha with flowers, candles, and fragrances is kusala wholesome, which is the deliverance. And here it is taught that paying respect to the Buddha with flowers, incense, and fragrances is not said to be paying respect. So here the teaching shows how great the intention of the Buddha is, and here is how the commentaries explain. The commentator explained that Buddha to be fulfill the parami perfection for many eons, fulfilling the 10 kind of perfection, 3 kinds of jariya conduct, 5 kinds of making sacrifices. So Buddha perfected all these practices in order to become a Buddha. Buddha to be perfected all these paramis and practices to become a Buddha, not for the intention of to be honored and respected by deities and Brahmas with these material things such as flowers, candles, incense, and so on. Buddha to be perfected, the perfections with the intention to teach so that the beings could attain Magapala, path and fruition knowledge, to realize Nibbana. So if beings are satisfied with giving honor and respect with the material things, if they are satisfied by such kind of wholesomeness, they will lose this opportunity to practice while having this rare opportunity of coming across the teachings of the Buddha. So if they are satisfied with paying respect with the material things, then it will be losing time in order to practice Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, morality, concentration, and wisdom that are of higher wholesomeness that can truly lead to the liberation. So if beings are satisfied with these kind of wholesomeness, they will not be practicing to attain Nayana, the deliverance, and they will not be able to attain Magapala, path and fruition, and Nibbana in this existence, and they will not be liberated, they will not gain deliverance from suffering. So this is as explained by the commentator. Not only that paying respect to the Buddha with flowers and incense is not the true way of respecting, and it is not the true way of being free from the suffering. And it continues that paying respect with these material things cannot prolong the sasana, it cannot maintain or prolong the Buddhist culture, sila, samadhi, and panya. Respecting, paying respect with these material things cannot maintain or prolong the sasana, not even a short moment, that is enough for one sip of rice porridge. So taking off the rice, a sip or one spoon of rice porridge takes a very little time, meaning that the paying respect with material things cannot prolong the sasana, not for a very short moment. It takes to drink a spoon of rice gruel. So it also says that constructing thousands of monasteries, thousands of stupas and pagodas also does not prolong the teaching of the Buddha. Practicing sila, refraining from transgression with the practice of sila, suppressing, weakening the obsessive defilements with samadhi, concentration, and also removing the wrong view by discerning nama rupa, cause and effect, and so on, developing vipassana knowledge stage by stage. Only through such training of sila, samadhi, and panya, one is said to be respecting, honoring the Buddha. Only the practice of sila, samadhi, panya is the way of respecting, honoring the Buddha that the Buddha really deserves. Such kind of paying respect with the practice of sila, samadhi, and panya can prolong the sasana, the teaching of the Buddha. And thus, one should pay respect and honor to the Buddha through the practice of sila, samadhi, and panya. That can also prolong the teaching of the Buddha. And this is how the commentary explained in the accordance with the teachings of the Buddha. In accordance with the teaching of the Buddha, the late Venerable Mahasi Saraji wrote a motto that gives the essence of the teaching, that Amisa puja, giving respect with material things, cannot prolong the sasana. So giving respect to the Buddha with flowers, fragrances, or many other material offerings, or giving respect with chanting, reciting, these are all Amisa puja, giving respect by material things. So such kind of paying respect with material things cannot prolong the teachings of the Buddha. Dhammanu dhamma patipanna, the practice that is in accordance with the supramundane dhamma, is the true way of paying respect. So while having this opportunity to meet with the teaching of the Buddha, while having this opportunity to meet with Kalyana Mitta, true companion, by practicing Satipatthana meditation, one can fulfill sila, samadhi, and panya, morality, concentration, and wisdom, and one can gain Magapala, path and fruition, knowledge, realizing Nibbana through the practice of Sila, Samadhi and Panya, and one can be free from the suffering. So by practicing Sila, Samadhi, Panya, the person is having the true method of practice and the correct practice, as well as the benefit of the practice, and there will be Pativeda, penetration or realization, and the person will be purifying physical behavior, verbal behavior and mental behavior. The person's body, speech and mind will be pure, clean, gentle, cultured and lovable. So one should practice Dhammapadipanna. One should practice in accordance with the supramundane Dhamma by the way of paying respect to the Buddha, and such kind of Dhamma Puja, paying respect to the Buddha through one's practice of Sila, Samadhi and Panya, can prolong the teaching of the Buddha. So one should remember that one should pay respect to the Buddha in the way of Dhamma Puja through the practice of Sila, Samadhi and Panya. So one should understand what it takes to prolong the teaching of the Buddha, the Buddhist culture, and one should himself, herself, practice sufficiently, efficiently the Sila, Samadhi, and Panya so that one is doing the Dhamma Puja. One should set the Venerable Attadatta as the example in practicing Satipatthana meditation. So one should know the correct method, one should learn the correct method of practice, one should practice accordingly in order to realize the Nibbana. So it is important that one should know the correct method of practice. So there should be learning, there should be priyati, learning the correct method of practice. There should be patipati, practicing according to the teachings. And when these two are combined together, priyati and patipati, one will gain the benefit such as purification of the mind and so on, and one will realize Nibbana by attaining Magapala Jnana, path and fruition knowledge. Realizing Nibbana with Magapala Jnana, it will be Pativeda. By practicing, one will possess the teaching of the Buddha. One can possess the teaching of the Buddha through the practice. In order to possess the teaching of the Buddha, there should be sadhukan savana. One should listen attentively how one should practice, and there should be sadhukan manasikara. One should practice in accordance with the teachings. Having these two factors, one will be fulfilling sila, samadhi and panya, morality, concentration and wisdom, and thus there will be sasana sampatti. There will be fulfillment or endowment of the teachings of the Buddha. So one cannot have sasana sampatti just by paying respect to the Buddha repeatedly, many times, or reciting or chanting or praying or making wishes will not make the person to have sasana sampatti. There should be sadhukan savana. one should listen the guidance and instruction. One should approach the Kalyanamita true companion who can teach the teaching of the Buddha. In this way, there should be pariyati, learning the correct method. Sadhuka manasikara, one should put it into practice. When practicing, one should be noting every arising object. In order that the noting mind should be concurrent with the object, one should aim and direct the noting mind onto the object, exerting effort every single second, so that there will be sustained mindfulness. The mind will fall calm and collected on the object. Thus, one should practice respectfully, meticulously. One should not be practicing in an easygoing manner. One should practice meticulously, thoroughly, continuously, so that the noting mind will continuously be concurrent with the object. When the mind falls calm, collected on the object, the person discerns nama rupa, cause and effect, and one develops knowledge stage by stage. Developing knowledge stage by stage, one is fulfilling sila, samadhi, and panya. So in this way, one should fulfill the teachings of the Buddha. And in the practice, the person should be precisely, accurately noting the object. Having these two factors, one will possess the teachings of the Buddha. There will be sasana sambatti. One will be endowed with the teachings of the Buddha, and one will be free from the suffering. Buddha attained enlightenment not with the intention of being respected with flowers, incense, and candles. Buddha had the intention to be enlightened, to teach, so that beings can be free from the suffering. So it is the main objective, to be free from suffering, that the Buddha attained enlightenment. So this is how the commentator explained in accordance with the teaching of the Buddha. So may you all be able to practice Satipatthana meditation, fulfilling sila, samadhi, and panya, so that there will be sasana sambatti, fulfilling the teachings of the Buddha, so that you will possess the sasana within yourself. So 1.5 hours is up, so this will be all for today. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.